And then when he's on the ceiling and he turns his head, it was like.
Budget man, zombie number five. I will indirectly answer that question by talking about Superman.
Are there any other Easter eggs?
Oh, I did look up fan fiction.
Oh no.
The daughter yelled, "Don't touch it!" It's gonna kill you!
It's Anima, and we're back again with part two of our interview with Trese co-creator Budget Tan. In this installation, we're going to cover a couple of things. We'll cover some Trese Easter eggs, and of course, talk about the past, present, and future of Philippine mythology. Enjoy!
I found it super cute that you guys had like an Easter egg of you and Kajo in the in the corriente, yung ba yon? Yung the corriente.
In the fire.
Are there any other Easter eggs that you think people haven't noticed yet that's in the series?
The writers and our producers were in the cage.
Yeah.
So Jay Oliva and Jojo Aguilar, I guess, found different ways to put those Easter egg or those cameo appearances. When this started, before they even kicked off production, I sent a wish list to Tanya of like, you know, can you do this for the series? And one of them was, can me and Kajo have a cameo appearance? You know, like Stan Lee appearing in the movie.
Yeah.
But my specific request was, oh, you know, I would be happy to be the voice of a zombie. You know, can I be I'd be happy to do that, you know. No, and just have credits, Budget Man, zombie number five. But they found a different way of putting us into the show. But that was fun. But yeah, I think that was it. So in the first episode where people were in cages, in one cage, Tanya and Shanti, our producers, are there. And in the other cage, it was Mick and Zig, the writers.
That's so nice. But I just think, like you mentioned, every time you go to a different place, there's going to be a different variation of the different myths, right? And so I think that comes from oral tradition, you know, like some guy just made something up
and on top of that, I think there's a real impact with like the, you know, the Spanish colonization and development of Catholicism, that a lot of the beliefs were Catholicized. Like Chanak is a baby, used to just be an unborn, the soul of an unborn child who obviously hasn't found peace, but it evolved into, you didn't baptize your child and they died, and that's how they became the Chanak, right?
So I guess my question is, like, how important do you think it is to preserve like the original context of what the myth was? And at the same time, adapt it and, like you said, package it in a way that is acceptable to people.
Or do you think it's inevitable that the story just really evolves as society evolves, right? And maybe we'll never find the original version, but, you know, we keep evolving the version we have today.
Yeah, I will indirectly answer that question by talking about Superman.
Okay.
So when Superman was created, So one of the interesting debates that ends up on our Facebook group is, there's people saying comic books should not be political. Don't bring your politics into comic books. And, you know, and the, of course, the geeks would counter that argument with, you know, Captain America was the very striking image of Captain America when he was created was punching Hitler. You know, he was created to rally the troops and to, you know, get the American soldiers, you know, spirits up. And when Superman was created, he wasn't fighting aliens. He wasn't fighting evil scientists. On the first year of Superman, he was fighting corrupt government officials. Ooh. And he was fighting wife abusers and throwing them into jail. So he was talking about domestic abuse. He was talking about corruption in the government. And people just forgot about it. I mean, it has evolved.
Yeah.
But every now and again, a writer would go back to that. Not maybe the exact same story, but they would talk about, you know, that, yeah, there is something about, there was, I think, an issue of Superman where he says, I am not an American citizen anymore because I am a citizen of the world, you know? So, you know, it was a comment on what was happening to America at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to your question, yes, I think we still need to continue to find what was the original source, you know, which I think we'll never find unless we can raise the spirits of our ancestors and ask them. So we need to compile as much of it, I think, right? So, and then let's see if we can find the connections and see, oh, maybe this is where it starts. And at the very least, we can speculate, I think. But we should continue to dig as much as we can and document them and classify them. And then, and as we compile that source material, yes, we do need to make these stories modernized somehow. Or it either becomes a simpler version of what it was, or a more complex modern version of it. But the point is that it needs to appeal to a new generation.
Yeah.
And maybe some, and inevitably a lot of people will just stop and go, ah, oh, alam ko na yan. Napanood ko yan sa Netflix, alam ko na yan. It stops there. But there will be people who will go, I want to know more.
Yeah.
And we need to be ready for these people who would want to know more. So I think both are important. The both ends of the spectrum are important. And yeah, exactly what you said, Ice, about how was it changed or manipulated or propagandized by Catholicism. We need to dissect that and unpack that. Because that is part of our history and culture.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we should throw it away or we should say, oh, it's all their fault. It was there before any of them came. Before, you know, so it's important for us to, and we have carried a bit of that. We have, you know, just like the way they say that, you know, they say that when your great-grandfather died, his last breath, there is a molecule of that last breath that's still floating around till this very day. So you are inhaling something from the past. So that's the same thing. I think we need to take a look at our stories from the past. There are bits of it that we have been inhaling.
Yeah.
And we have been digesting it, and we have been now retelling it.
Yeah.
Unwittingly, unknowingly, we are retelling these stories from the past. In a certain way. So, and I think it's and we should not forget and not forgo of where did it really start.
Yeah.
So yeah.
For me, I guess the challenge for everyone telling stories is how can we then reflect what really happened, with minimal judgment. If possible, and resentment, and like you said, reflect it in ways that we don't necessarily notice, right?
Or just be cognizant of the, I guess, the history and meaning of the things that you do or you take for granted, right? So, for example, I mean, it, like, I always say this as kind of a first bit of trivia for people who aren't as involved, like, bahala na, right?
Yes.
As an expression came from bathala na, which was like, it's up to God, no matter what happens. But hala, as kind of the main, Zeus type equivalent God in the.
Oh, that's a very good example.
Right, who actually has Hindu origins?
Yes, Hindu
well.
Also.
That's Batara is a Hindu word for God, and that's what was used by ancestors. So, remember in our Maria Makiling episode, we talked about how this practice of like having like little Santo Niños. Santo Niños and then praying to the Santo Niños for different things like as intercessory, that has a lot of with Anitos, because basically they adapted the practice of worshiping different Anitos and saying, well, there are different versions of Jesus,
right. Galing.
Also free to, in a similar way. So it's kind of respecting your roots as well, while not throwing away what, you know, the you have now. Like, you don't have to, like, overhaul your complete identity. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good example. So I just suddenly remember, I suddenly remember this store in Green Vera Mall that always sold the most interesting religious idols, and they had the Santo Niño in front of a computer. So I guess if you want, if you want your computer stuff, you have your little Santo Niño with a laptop.
That's the Jesus of IP. Programmers.
Bag yung code ko. Hindi ko mag-bag. Ayaw mag-run. Santo Niño, please. Sinapat niya yung Santo Niño.
Bago ka mag-code, magdasal ka muna, di ba?
Sana mag-run.
Santo ng coding. Ganda, ang ganda. But yeah, exactly. I think that's a... whether it's and I mean it, because there's that one thought of like of people who are so who object to it so much, right? Oh, take a look at them, look at what have they done. But the thing is, you know, we've adapted it, and we've, you know, it is taking that bit of culture which might have been forgotten, and we've evolved with it, or it's evolved with us. And yeah, I think it's just nice to be able to say, backtrack and go, this is where it started. So there is still a bit of you know, pagka Pinoy about it.
Yeah.
Before it got mixed up. And I think that is what makes, and I don't know if other cultures have it, that would be interesting to study. Because like, I think about, there was the one time I went to Indonesia and went to Ubud. The island of Ubud, and I was just so amazed at how they celebrate their mythologies, or at least they're not their mythologies, their beliefs, right? They have, you know, huge statues of their religious beings, and even right down to a chair I was sitting on. The sculptures on the sculpts on the chair were just like a dragon that had some kind of other creature connected to it. And then when I read up about it, it was all again connected to their beliefs, to their folk beliefs, and to their to their religious beliefs. And that's something that kinda, and that didn't get mixed up with Catholicism, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
And it's still much celebrated. But in our case, oo nga, it's like we've completely, like, you know, separated the two. But it would be, I think it would be great to just acknowledge where it came from, and going back to my point, that's what makes the Pinoy unique. It seems like we have picked up this, I don't know, this behavior or trait, and has it become part of our survival mechanism to welcome, to learn, or whether it's beaten down to us of other cultures. We take other cultures and make it our own.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because like, if you think about, for example, anting-anting, like the anting-anting door, is the belief of an anting-anting and imbuing a physical thing with power. To defend you against bullets. And, you know, my lolo and my great grandfather, all of them, they have this anting-anting, and they have a bulong. They call it bulong, which is also an anting-anting. And it was a piece of paper, and it was tucked into like a cloth bag that you wear.
Yes.
And that's because my grandfather was a soldier, my great grandfather was a soldier, my great great grandfather was a soldier, my dad was a soldier, and never daw silang nabarel. Nilabas ko, tinanggal ko, sa'yo, pwede ko bang tingnan? Sali, okay naman, pero you ask permission. So I ask permission, you open it. You know what was in the paper? It was our father.
Oh, it was our father prayer.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was that, but the way they were treating it was like very, very magic. Like, it was magic.
Yeah. And even the anting-anting that you get, you know, outside Capo Church, it's in Latin. The prayers are in Latin. Now, interesting that you said that. There was, I now cannot remember. I had the same thing. I had the same prayer with me for quite some time, or anting-anting. And I cannot remember what happened in the house. But for some reason, everyone got one. My mom went to somebody, I guess a yeah, somebody that makes an anting-anting. And according to her, the old man, so she explained what was happening in the house because there were like strange things happening in the house. The old man then got a piece of paper, and as he started to write on the piece of paper, he was reciting the Our Father in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
So he was writing down the prayer, he folded it, put it in a piece of plastic, and then put it in the, syempre ayaw mo magbasa, di ba? Put it in a piece of plastic, and then wrapped it in red cloth.
Okay.
And then sewed up the red cloth, and then the instruction was you should never open, but this will give you protection. This is supposed to protect you from all types of harm. So it is emerging already of so many beliefs and you know, adapted into, yeah, it, maybe it started out as metal and now it's on paper, and who knows, it can be an app one of these days. It might be an app.
Who knows? Everyone does tarot readings now on Zoom, so you never know. You don't need
that's
to go to
true.
Quiapo anymore.
You don't
anymore.
Need to like feel the,
You don't need to charge the car. You have to shuffle it yourself.
Oh, but you have to shuffle it yourself, and that's how you're supposed to do it. But now, kaya na ng internet.
Yung magic to ma-transmit na raw sa 5G.
That's incredible.
Pero 5G
lang. 5G lang. 5G lang. Continue. Tsaka kung 2 LTE, hindi kaya.
Oo, hindi obra yun. Oh. Kailangan 5G.
Mahina lang yung magic.
That'll get the Pinoys on 5G because so you can have your fortunes told better.
Mm-hmm.
5G.
Huge business. It's huge business.
Interesting in how we talk about, you know, how the myths have been adapted throughout the years within our culture, right? But I think if we think about, like, there are certain mythological creatures or beings that are now kind of more universally known and globally, like, recognized or used, like vampires, for example, fairies, like, almost everyone knows about Greek gods and stuff like that, diba? And it's kind of like, they've also taken their own kind of adaptations of these different creatures within their own culture, even if it's foreign. So I guess the question is, you know, since we're kind of on this trend of within the Philippine kind of culture and around the world, where Filipinos around the world, they're kind of learning more about Philippine mythology. Do you think if we kind of speculate the future where
pretend you're a fortune teller.
Yeah, pretend you're a fortune teller now. If we speculate the future where Philippine myth or a certain creature or being a Philippine myth would be more globally or universally known, like, which one do you think it would be?
Well, looking at that recent news of that video game that has included the Manananggal in it, off the top of my head, it would be the Manananggal because of how unique it looks.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, our aswang is almost vampire-like. Our kapre is almost, aside from the cigar, it's a giant, it's a troll.
Yeah.
The Manananggal, I think, or, you know, the Manananggal is yeah, one of the most unique. Other countries have floating heads. Yeah, we've got the half body and the bat wings that just make it so interesting. At least from the top five. I mean, now of course, you know, with the 13 anime, Jay Oliva and Jojo Aguilar have introduced a new form for the Chana, which
it's
of course
scary. Creepy.
It's so scary.
I guess they was. Well, again, the thinking of Jay and Jojo is how can we surprise the 13 readers. And not, you know, and it'll be like, oh, it's a Chana. Oh, it's a Chana spider! It's like, you know.
And then when he's on the ceiling and he turns his head, like,
pero mas natakot pa ako nung when it came down and then the grip trap came on the ceiling and it was like,
and then it was making like baby sounds, right?
we were watching it with friends here, and one of our friends had their daughter with us. So when the Chanak was approaching the actress, the daughter yelled, "Don't touch it! It's gonna kill you!
It's a monster, baby!"
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how many people, I mean, so to people who've never heard of a Chanak, now they think a Chanak looks like that, right? As far as the top five, you know, popular Pinoy creatures of folklore, I think the Manananggal immediately grabs the attention of a new viewer or a new reader.
Did you hear about this? There was an Android game that was made.
Oh my God!
That had the Manananggal. You play the Manananggal. You know what the name of the game was? Mananang game.
Ang ganda,
ang witty niya.
There's also Anima found this because it was her first episode, right? And she was looking at like pop culture appearances of the Manananggal. There's an erotic novel called Melania, Devourer of Men. Where she's secretly a Manananggal, but because she's now the first lady, she has to hide her identity, and so she's struggling.
She's the first lady.
Yes, yeah. Melania Trump was a secret Manananggal.
Okay. And was that like what? Online?
It's an erotic novel.
You can get it on Kindle. It's part of Kindle Unlimited. I
got the book, but I haven't read it.
I will. I think the Trece readers will love that. They're like, I have heard and I have seen one story where Trece readers have started to write their own version of erotic slash fiction using the Trece characters.
Oh, I did look up fan fiction.
Oh no. Is it?
Ow!
I'm sorry, she just got her back.
She keeps sending me.
Sorry.
No, I was looking up because I was like, the first thing you do when you see something it becomes popular is you see the fan fiction about it. I don't know if you've checked it out. I think the top ones, the top like pairs that I've seen so far are Trece and Maliksi.
Yes.
People are loving the flirtation.
Yes.
And I don't know if you're ready for this. The Kambal.
Okay.
And the Reader. So it's like a fantasy.
No! Oh no!
It's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah, there was one video call that I got invited to, and what they asked me to do was they acted out one of the erotic fiction. So one of them, you know, was the voice of Trece, the other one was the voice of Maliksi, and they asked me to be the narrator. So I had to read the stuff in between their dialogue. And I said, I don't want to know what the story is about, because, you know, if I know it, maybe I wouldn't want to do it. So I just said, send it to me and I'll read it cold. So it was on the spot when I was like reading the lines, and there were like some moments and there's like, I was like stopping, and then the host was saying, keep going. So it's somewhere there online, and I don't want to see it again. But anyway,
I am looking at
it. But it was fun. It was fun. But yeah, it's incredible what the I mean, and it just goes to show how it does capture the imagination of people, right? So you will inevitably take it down that road.
Yeah.
And that's how you know people are really, really involved with it, right? Because now they really want to build on like the canon and kind of make their own stories within the world. So
Yeah. I mean, it goes to show that it just sparked something in their heads, and that they already like figured out this is where the story can go. So very, you know, always surprising, encouraging, and shocking.
Whether it's with the Kambal
I don't know if you've, I can only guess that you've started with book with the first book, or so. But in book six, in book seven, we introduced her brother, the priest.
Oh, there's a.
So the thing is,
or something.
Sorry.
Eldest brother.
Yeah. So she has four elder brothers, right? So we came up with one storyline where it's all about the third brother who's a priest, and now you have readers, you know, thirsting for.
Oh. Okay.
For Father Trece.
We're still waiting for our next.
Yay!
Yes. Thank you very much.
It was right next to. Have you heard of the Fables? The Fables.
Yes. The first couple of books was actually drawn by a Filipino.
Really?
So I think which book is that you have with
this
you?
One? This is the Mean Season
Volume 5.
Okay. So volume 1 and 2 was drawn by Lan Medina. So Filipino.
Are there other things that you want people to look out for apart from the books and of course the TV series that are coming up, so you know, just so we can whet their appetite?
The other thing that, especially since it might take time to order or get the book, we are on a website called penlab.inc.ink. And it is a website where you can read Filipino comic books for free. So we have one story, we have one Trece story in that website, which is the very first case about the White Lady of Balete Drive. We have also uploaded an older story. So before Trece, me and Kajo worked on a sci-fi story called The Last Datu. And it's also on that site. If you've seen the show, there are more more Filipino comic book stories about our different gods and goddesses and creatures of folklore there, and from there you can then look at all of the other stuff at penlab.inc.
Penlab.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll include that in the...
All the recos. We have so many recos. We'll put all the recos in our description.
We have a whole list of recommended reading for this episode.
For those who are listening also, do you have any advice to creators who want to tell more Philippine stories? And, you know, I love that you said you self-published the first comic, because... For a lot of people, especially people who are also professionals, parang it's a little parang self-published ko, parang nakakahiya, parang ang kapal naman ng mukha. That's personally what I think for myself when I'm when I think of self-publishing something. Like, parang why ang kapal naman ng mukha ko. Pero what do you think would be some good advice for those folks who do want to tell the stories but are held back in some way?
I think it's I think one of the things that sometimes, and it happens to me as well, in terms of discouraging me to tell my story, is that sometimes I take a look, I suddenly stumble upon a book or a TV show or whatever it might be that looks like that's the story I want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it will be like, oh, it's a story about a manananggal. Oh, it's a story about a detective that investigates, you know, supernatural crime. And it might feel like, you know, and your usual gut reaction is, oh, it's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
I should not tell my story.
Mm-mm.
But I think the important thing to think about is that the big difference between that story and your story is that you're the one telling it. And mm-hmm. then it will be completely different from what the other guy has already written.
Yeah.
Right? If everyone stopped writing about a guy who wears a cape and that could fly, we would never have all of these other fantastic heroes and other fantastic stories about men and women who could fly, right? So that shouldn't stop you from telling your story.
Yeah.
Because you will find a way to tell it in your own way, which makes it, you know, vastly different from the next guy. And on the flip side, there will always be someone who will come up with a storyline that's close to your storyline, right? Because we're all exposed to the same things, right? We're all exposed to the same thing. It's now a question of how do you put it together, right? Yeah. We are all working with the same raw ingredients. It's how you cook it that will be, and it's how you plate it. It's how you serve it that makes a difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, using Tres as an example, I think one of the key ingredients is we decided to tell it from the lens of a detective story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It could have been a coming of age story. It could have been, you know, a barcada story. But, you know, a bunch of those pesky kids coming together to investigate supernatural. But we said, it was all Mr. Smithers all along. He was the tikbala.
Oh my God.
You can see that happening, right? You can see Scooby-Doo goes to Manila. That should happen.
Boinks!
and Shaggy and Scooby.
And then the dog is the Wirwir.
The weird.
Exactly. There you go. That's your connection.
Oh,
Scooby meets Wirwir. That's your episode right there. See, exactly. So that already makes it such a special Scooby-Doo episode right there. It suddenly will make your reader go, oh, I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is still a way to take something that's old and put in a bit of a new, and that new sometimes comes from yourself.
Yeah.
And going back to what you said, you know, is it sometimes self-publishing is really the way to get it out there. Just get it in front of as many people as you can, and eventually enough people also like your story or resonates with them, then it will find its way to its next level of incarnation. It will, you know, it will be found by a publisher, it will be found by a producer, it will be found by whoever it needs to find it. But the point is that you just, you know, focus on the story you want to tell and tell it in the way you want to tell it. And it might not be comics, it might be comics, it might be prose, it might be on Wattpad, it might be on webtoons, it might be a very crude cartoon that you put up on YouTube, it might be a crudely spliced together podcast, we don't know. But just get it out there in the web. not this podcast. Not this podcast. This is well produced.
You're almost convincing.
No one has made any mistakes in this podcast so far. Not at all.
All smooth running here.
Smooth, no issues whatsoever.
And I think that's the other thing. And you know, of course, we cannot. I mean, in this day and age, we can't help but talk about. Oh wow, you're on Netflix. That wasn't the end. I mean, wala pa Netflix nung ginawa namin yung 13. So no, it wasn't part of our plan when we started 13. But the point is that we I think that's the main thing that for me in Kadzo, it's like we focused on the story we wanted to tell in the medium we wanted to tell it. And eventually, it will find its way into another translation, and there will be people who will come who will share your vision and you can trust them with your vision, who will bring it to life in the best way possible, even if it takes 10 years.
One last question. You're a creative director by profession. And I do think that they did render the animation wonderfully to the spirit of the comic. Were there any challenges for you being a creative director into sort of like letting them, like you said, take your vision forward?
definitely there would be moments when I would be watching the show and go, oh, they did that, or like, oh, why did they do that, or that's interesting, I wouldn't have thought of doing it that way. And there would also be moments where I would go, oh, I wish I thought of that. Right. And I think especially when it comes to in my head, I know that it is being adapted into something that I am not an expert on, right? So yes, I may, you know, working in advertising, I work with videos and putting together video content, but putting together a TV show is still a different animal, right? And me being a comic book geek, I've also seen how I can take a look at my favorite Batman movie, which are the movies made by Christopher Nolan, and see that, oh, his source material were all of these other comic books.
Yeah.
But he like found a way to present it in a different way.
Yeah.
Because it's a movie.
Yeah.
And had he taken the comic book and just cut it up, you know, panel by panel, page by page, and then turned it into a movie, it would have been a horrible movie.
Yeah.
So it's the same thinking that, you know, I know that especially the team that got put together, you know, with Jay Oliva and all of his background of doing Marvel and DC stuff, working for the, you know, superhero movies like Superman and Wonder Woman, and then you've got again Tanya and Shanti, who had their production background for TV shows and movies. Then you have Mick and Zig, who are, you know, accomplished and award-winning directors and writers in the local scene. So it's a great combination of and they're all geeks in their own way, right? They're you know, different levels of comic book geekiness in that room, in that writer's room. I do think they were able to deliver and adapt it in the best way possible.
Awesome.
So it's really trusting that team to deliver that for you.
Do you have any last words before we give you back to yourself? Can let you have breakfast. Also, by the way, sabi ko kay Ice, we wanted to send you coffee sana, you know, send you something
nice. But we thought it would be too stalkerish.
Kung inalam namin kung saan nakatira.
Coffee to just show up with you.
Walang delivery dito eh.
Everything's locked.
There's no delivery system here. It's a very small town, this where we are now. So I mean, in the city like Copenhagen, they would have, you know, those, their version of Grab, for example. But here there isn't. But thank you for the thought. I hope to visit you guys one of these days.
Hopefully. Yes, Singapore is fantastic, and I bet you have a giant, giant fan base here also.
And it would be great to, well, I hope so. the last time I was in Singapore, it was for the Asian Festival for Children's Content. And they do have a writer's conference as well, a literary writer's conference that happens at least before lockdown, once a year. So it would be great to visit Singapore and get to meet other writers and you guys as well.
Great.
Thank you again. And I think, I look forward to binging your episodes, because you definitely have certain episodes there of things I've never heard of. So I would love to definitely learn more. And I hope the Trece readers, you know, start picking up on the topics you've covered. And let's see what kind of fiction they write based on.
Who knows? We should do an episode on like reading.
We should do a dramatic. We'll do a dramatic reading of Trece fan fiction.
Okay. Just put a trigger warning for me before.
We'll do reviews. Attention.
Oh, reviews would be great. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
And have a great morning. Thank you so much.
See you. Bye bye.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.
This has been an episode of
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
We hope that you enjoyed listening in. We will be posting episodes every other week or so. So, you know, please join us for the next one.
In terms of sources, where we got our stories, and how we know what we know, we try to do as much research as possible, within a reasonable amount of time, of course. And we try to stay close to the original tellers of the tale as much as possible. However, we do know that a lot of our mythology comes from oral tradition, stories that your grandma and your grandma's grandma and your grandma's grandma's grandma told you. So if our renditions or our stories are a little bit different from what you know and what you grew up with, please do let us know.
Follow us on Instagram at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod. We do post some additional information there. We post the teasers of what's coming next, you know, and any other things you may be curious about that we feature in our episodes. Who is Gardo Versace and why does he keep appearing in these different episodes? What are the different recipes that we feature for tinola and black rice and adobo and stuff like that? And obviously, it's where we would love to hear from you as well. If you have any other stories that you want to feature or maybe requests of things that you want us to feature. There's also a way to directly talk to us and share any of your stories. So if you go to our anchor.fm website, there's a button there with a plus sign and it says message, and you can actually record voice notes or voice memos for us to listen to and also possibly feature in the episodes themselves.
And of course, where you do listen to us, whatever platform it could be, please do rate, review, subscribe, download. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're even on Audible.
Yeah.
So please share with your friends, tag your friends on our social media, and share your stories too if you feel like it.
Yeah, the best way to support, you know, young and new podcasts like us is really just to spread the word out. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, put in a rating and maybe a review of what you like about the show. Or if not, you know, just share it with your friends on social media, and you know, that would be really, really helpful for us. So until next time,
bye.